Hi, I'm Becky Burrows, and you are listening to Leadership Becomes Her, where we provide simple, strategic solutions for Christian women who lead. In today's episode, we're going to talk about credibility. Now, credibility is a foundational pillar of leadership. In episodes 2 and 3, I addressed another foundational pillar of leadership, confidence. And confidence is something that is built over time. In episodes 4 and 5, I talked about courage. And courage is developed with experience. As we talk about credibility today, I want you to remember this. Credibility is earned. Now, credibility is a reflection of your value system, those qualities and traits that you consistently demonstrate, values that are important to you. When you are credible, people believe in you. They trust you. They trust your leadership when you're a credible leader. And that's what I mean when I say that credibility is earned. First, you have to demonstrate that you are credible, and then people believe you. They trust your leadership. So today, we're going to take a look at the difference between a leader who is credible and a leader who is not credible. What things can you do that build your credibility, and what things are you possibly doing that are credibility killers? Let's dive in to today's episode. Hey, friend, are you a people-pleasing, conflict-avoiding leader? Is your secret relationship with fear affecting your leadership decisions? Do you want to learn how to build credibility and confidence or to navigate difficult conversations? Do you long to manage your time without sacrificing your family or self-care? Welcome to Leadership Becomes Her. I'm Becky Burrows, your host and a minister and life and leadership coach with over 50 years' experience in leadership. Now, I firmly believe God has given you everything you need to lead well. You have the toolbox. You just need to learn how to use the tools. So get comfy or start a mindless task. You know how to pause or rewind if you need to. Let's get started. Now, when you start a new job, it's a wonderful opportunity to build credibility. It begins on the surface level with things such as how you dress, how you carry yourself, your ability to make eye contact, the expression on your face, your handshake, how you listen, how thoughtfully you respond, the tone of your voice. And these are things you can practice anytime, anywhere. These are things we all need to be aware of since they set the tone for our credibility. Going deeper in building credibility is where your value system comes into play. For example, if you value promptness, you will lead by example. If you value efficiency, you will lead by example. If you value honesty, you will be honest in your communication. That means you will say what you mean and mean what you say. It does not mean passive-aggressive communication, having a hidden agenda, or saying one thing and meaning another, or even using sarcasm. Those are credibility killers. Once people figure out that that's your style of communication, then you're not trusted to be honest because they are always looking for the hidden meaning in your communication. They never know exactly where they stand with you, and this is a credibility killer. Credibility is also built in your consistent habits, your style of working, and your respect for the style of others. Let me explain what I mean. Let's say that you tend to fly by the seat of your pants, doing things at the last minute because you like the excitement and you say that working that way works best for you. But in doing so, your working style may infringe on the working style of others. Let's say you have an administrative assistant who's a planner, as most good administrative assistants are. She likes to plan out her tasks way ahead of time to allow for the unknown. She keeps herself on a schedule. She has a checklist. Maybe she asks you for what she needs weeks ahead of time, but you like to give it to her at the last minute because that's what works best for you. In doing so, you are showing a huge disregard for her work style. You are forcing her to work in a way that works best for you instead of for her. Now, I've seen this happen many, many times in ministry where support staff, for example, will ask for information that they need in order to promote one of your events. For weeks and weeks, they remind you that they need to do this work for you and they want to do it well. But at the last minute, you hand it to them with no regard for how long it's going to take them to do their job. And you may or may not know that they're now spending evenings and weekends to get this done for you in time because they fully understand that their role is to be a support to you. And although they will do the work and they will get it done and it will look great, you may never know what they had to do to make that happen. Over time, it begins to kill your credibility with that person because you are not respecting them in their role and what they need to do their job well. They don't understand why or even how you manage to get things done at the last minute in a flurry of activity, just like you don't understand why they need extra time to plan ahead and get it done. It really doesn't matter that we don't understand each other and how we work. What matters is that we respect each other and what the other needs in order to get the job done. As the leader, the responsibility is on your shoulders to get those who are helping you, those who are supporting you, what they need in the amount of time they need it in order to get it done and do it well, even if that means you adjusting your work style. Because what we're talking about here is more than just how we like to work or how much time it takes to get something done or whether it can be done at the last minute. What we are talking about is you building your credibility as a leader. And once you have begun to consistently do things that are killing your credibility, it is extremely hard to get it back. Think of your credibility as your working reputation. It's what others think about you. It's what others are saying about you. If you could be a fly on the wall and hear what others are saying about you when you're not around, what you're actually listening to is their assessment of your credibility, the reputation you have established for yourself because of your habits. So make sure your habits reflect your value system. If you value things being done well, then that will be reflected in your habits. It will mean that you are giving your staff enough time and resources to do it well. And just because you can fling it together at the last minute does not mean that works for others. And being part of a leader is to develop those under your leadership. So I'm a planner. I like to do things way ahead of time. And if I can't do that, I at least want ample time to get it done. I used to work with a minister who flew by the seat of his pants. He always managed to fling things together at the last minute and do it well. He liked the excitement of scurrying around, getting things done right before the deadline. There was this particular task he wanted me to do, and I needed some information before I could do it. I asked and I asked over a period of time, and finally, at the last minute, he gave me what I needed, and he said to me, "You know, it's good for you to learn how to do things at the last minute." Boy, did he not understand that I, like everyone else, I know how to do things at the last minute. I often have to do things at the last minute. But when I do, it's always very frustrating for me because I know that for me, there's a better way. What he was actually communicating to me was his lack of respect for how I like to work, for how I work best. And remember, credibility is one of the foundational pillars upon which all other leadership skills are built. Credibility is when others see me as competent and they trust my leadership. Included in this would be your honesty and your directness versus passive-aggressive communication or saying one thing and meaning another or having a hidden agenda. Your ability to delegate to others communicates how you trust those under your leadership. And guess what? They are not going to trust you any more than you trust them. Credibility includes what you're doing to develop those under your leadership. Because one of the responsibilities of leadership is to produce more leaders, not more followers. Last week in episode 5, I talked about the superwoman complex, this idea that we often have as women, and certainly as women in ministry, that if I am a leader, it means I'm supposed to do all the things. I am supposed to be the hardest working person in the room, and I am certainly supposed to work harder than anyone else under my leadership. And women who lead in this way always wonder why they're behind. I once coached a man who was working in the corporate world, and he had been promoted into a position of leadership. He was over his whole department. And when he approached me to coach him, he already knew that organization and time management were not strengths of his. He assumed that this was the problem, and that was why he was always behind and could not meet any deadlines. So he wanted me to work with him on time management. And although it was definitely a factor, what we uncovered in working together was his style of leadership. Now, this was his first leadership role, and he was under the assumption that as the leader, he should have more tasks than anyone else. He should be working longer hours than anyone else. He should be working harder than anyone else. He told me that others under his leadership would often suggest that he give them more tasks to do. But no, he felt that the big tasks were his as the leader to take care of. And because he had given himself so much to do, he was always behind. Honestly, the amount of tasks that he had allocated for himself could not have been done by someone with great time management skills. So our coaching sessions often revolved around the idea that as a leader, it is your job to make sure the tasks get done. It is not your job to do all the tasks yourself. Because when you do it all yourself, you are failing to develop those under your leadership. Now, part of that is deciding what can be done only by you and what can be delegated to someone else. Think of it less about handing off work that you don't want to do and more about developing or training someone else to enhance their skills. When you delegate effectively, you empower those under your leadership. They take ownership. They appreciate your trust in them. Years ago, when I was a children's minister, I hired a new administrative assistant, and she was phenomenal, and she had very strong boundaries. So one day we're sitting down, and I'm talking and proposing tasks to her, trying to find out the kinds of things she enjoys doing, the kinds of things she feels like she is good at. And so I asked her some question along that line, and here was her response. She said, "What I will not do for you is make cold telephone calls. I feel like as the children's minister, the people that you serve want to hear from you. They do not want to hear from your administrative assistant." And I agreed with her completely. But that is an excellent example of tasks that really need to be done by you. So if I believe as a children's minister that I'm the one who should be calling and recruiting people and reminding people it's their time to serve and that kind of thing, then in order for me to have time to do that task, then what tasks do I need to delegate to my administrative assistant that could be done by anyone? But when you delegate, it is important not to micromanage. Often those with a superwoman complex have perfection tendencies. They want to do things themselves because they want it done right, because that's how it's done, you know, is a reflection on them. But done is better than perfect. And delegating to those under your leadership and thereby developing them as leaders is also a reflection on you, and it builds credibility. Now, credibility also includes your willingness to have hard conversations and to take full responsibility for actions and decisions. All too often, leaders are conflict avoiders. But when a leader fails to have the hard conversations, then conflict does not go away. It is stuffed. And when we stuff emotions or unresolved conflict, since it has not been resolved, it is likely to show up at the most inopportune times. You know that feeling when you have unresolved conflict with someone that you've stuffed, it has a tendency to affect how you feel about that person and how you interpret everything that person says or does simply because you have this unresolved conflict between you. A credible leader recognizes when there is conflict in the workplace and leads the way in resolving that conflict in a confidential, healthy way before it has an opportunity to fester and explode. There's an expression that a leader should take all of the blame and half the credit. And that's because the buck stops with the leader. I believe you can take any problem with any employee at any level of the food chain, and you can always trace it back to a problem in leadership. Let's say there's this employee who always comes in late, or who forgets important tasks, or who does not do quality work. Now, the temptation is to assume that they are incapable of doing these things, or even to assume that we've made a bad hire. And sometimes that is the case. But before you make that determination, ask yourself a few questions. Has this employee received a written role description with their tasks and deadlines clearly outlined? Are expectations clearly laid out? Does their supervisor give them consistent and clear feedback for their work? Is this employee given the resources they need to be successful? Is there anything else going on that could be interfering with their work? Has this employee been placed on a growth plan? Asking questions like these will help you determine if you made a bad hire or if the person is not living into clearly communicated expectations. Or it will help you determine if this has been a failure in leadership, a failure to develop those under your leadership. And just like when you establish a reputation that might need some repair, when you discover that you have lost credibility, a little humility and a lot of consistency will go a long way to earn the trust of those you are leading and serving. I want to challenge you to examine the credibility of your leadership. Is your leadership style living up to your value system? When you're criticized, do you get defensive? Or do you look for the nugget of truth buried deep within that criticism? That nugget of truth could possibly be the information you need as a starting place to work on your credibility. So, what good qualities of leadership are you known for? What weaknesses in leadership are you known for? Because leadership is a journey. It is not a destination. And there will always be areas in which you can strengthen your leadership. Hey, I want to help you build a solid foundation upon which your leadership can stand tall. My next leadership bootcamp for women in ministry starts in April of 2024, and it fills up fast. So go to our website, leadershipbootcampforwomeninministry.com, to register. If you'd like to get on the wait list for the one in April, email me at hello@beckyburrows.com. Hey, let's do this again next week. It is my prayer that this podcast inspired you, blessed you, or made you think. If so, please share it with a friend, subscribe, and please leave a review. Hey, I want to connect with you. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Send me a DM or email me at hello@beckyburrows.com. If you are a Christian woman who leads and you are interested in one of my leadership boot camps for women in ministry, this is a 4-week workshop, or becoming part of a Kairos cohort, year-long group coaching, send me a DM or an email for more information. We'll talk soon.